You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 1st of April. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nessa Nayar, excellent returns. The first quarter ended yesterday. I want to dig into some of those Q1 returns. We're looking at index level and maybe a touch on gold. PPC and their successful restructuring in the DRC, which could have seen a massive rights issue, as well as an operational update, a fairly solid operational update. And Ronnie Katz, CEO, Workforce Holdings, touching results, but also trying to get an understanding of their business and where they operate and how they operate. Yesterday's poll, we asked about Naspers and Prosus, who dominate the JSE in terms of their market cap, and in Naspers' case, index weighting. Do you invest into them? 39% of you said yes, but via ETFs. That's where I sit. 40% said yes, a great business. And 21% of you said nope, you prefer offshore tech. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. The JSE scraps the gold and platinum indices. They've merged them into what they call the Precious Metals and Mining Index. I suppose that makes some sense. I'm going to miss them. I liked the gold index. That was fun. From CNBC, President Biden unveils his $2 trillion infrastructure plan. We talked about it yesterday with Viv Govender. Aims to revitalize U.S. transportation infrastructure, water, broadband, manufacturing, and they're going to pay for it by taking corporate tax back to 28%. Morning markets, U.S. green, S&P up 0.4, NASDAQ up 1.5. Asia green, Sydney up 0.2, Tokyo up 0.8. Commodities mixed overnight with gold 17.14, Rand 14.79. And top 40 looking for a green open up around 250 points or 0.4%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nessa Nayar, portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Nessa, morning. Appreciate your early morning time. I mentioned in the intro there, first quarter for 2021 done and dusted. And the returns aren't bad. In the top 40, we actually were better in earlier March, but first quarter at 12%. I don't know about you, but in the olden days, I would have taken 12% in a year. I mean, my sense is, can we just shut up and come back in January sort of sense?
Absolutely, Simon. You know, I think investors have got nothing to complain about, certainly as far as returns are concerned. So far this year, there was a concern around about February, if you can remember, when the market had a little bit of a jitter. Mm-hmm. Because in the last few years, the last 4 years actually, we had a very strong start to the year and then, you know, a sudden almost like a correction, but a pullback, significant pullback. And there was a concern that we're going to see a repeat of that. This was around about the time that the first U.S. stimulus was announced under Biden. And then there was talks that there wasn't any going to be any follow-up. But, of course, we know that there's definitely going to be follow-up. In fact, I'm sure his presidency is going to be characterized by a fair amount of fiscal stimulus, as we've seen, mm-hmm. Certainly this year, which I think is going to be very supportive for markets, global markets, including the JSE. If you delve down into those returns, you know, compared to last year, sure, you know, last year we had the resources and Naspers to thank for those for that excellent recovery. But in the first quarter this year, it's actually been a recovery on some of the FA Inc. shares.
Yeah.
You know, it's been the banks that have recovered a little bit, albeit from very low levels. Some of the property companies, retailers we spoke about, you know, as well, have all produced results that I think have warranted a slight recovery in the share price, more than slight, actually. And of course, you know, for, you mentioned PPC earlier on. I mean, is that not an indication of the health of our economy? And I think a lot of people I'm talking to are saying SA equities are poised for a rally this year. So, you know, 6 months ago, if you said that to me, I would have probably scoffed at it. But now I think it warrants some serious thought.
And we're well ahead of the U.S. I mean, NASDAQ was up 1.6% for that Q1. S&P 500 up 5.5%. So firstly, we've got the S&P outperforming NASDAQ, which hasn't happened in a while. And locally, we're outperforming both. But back to your point, looks like, you know, little SA Inc. might finally have its day in the sun.
Yeah, and you know, another barometer is obviously the RAND as well. The RAND is looking a lot stronger than it has been in the last sort of, you know, several quarters. Mm-hmm. So I'm of the view that, you know, maybe this negative sentiment that's permeated our market for a long time is probably, you know, at the beginning of its end, if I can put it that way. And that, you know, I think if you've had an underweight exposure to SA equities, you might want to rethink that.
Yeah, the RAND over the same first quarter, weaker by 0.32%, which in the RAND is frankly a rounding error. We'll leave that there. Nissan Naya, Portfolio Manager, Sasfin Securities, appreciate your early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with PPC CEO Roland van Veenen. Roland, morning. Appreciate your time. Sense announcement yesterday that was put out, and certainly the market had been waiting for it, although I note that sort of from November the stock was up about 4x over the, five or so months. But in essence, the concerns around the DRC, your operation there, where there was a debt liability of $175 million, that's down to $16.5 million. Essentially, you have managed to strike a deal with the lenders and reduce a very potential risk of PPC needing to do a giant rights issue sort of around about now.
Absolutely, Simon, and good morning to all of you. It's been a long roller coaster ride with all the stakeholders in the DRC, mm-hmm. and that's why we were at the last minute with our sense, because we did announce that we had a deadline on the 31st of March.
Yeah.
But the end result, I think, is very satisfactory for all involved.
And you retain your equity in the business. I mean, this is just a sort of a restructuring of the debt. The business, which is a Barnett, it continues operating, and you retain equity.
So we will retain equity. However, it will be subordinate to the loans that mm-hmm. the banks will reinstate on the balance sheet. So as we have announced in the sense, we don't think that there will be a lot of economic value coming out of that business for the PPC equity for the foreseeable future. But yeah, we will continue to operate the asset, and there we keep a presence in the DRC.
Yeah, and maybe no money coming out, but at least not vast amount of money needing to go back into it. The other part of the update was in terms of cement sales, and you talk around double digit period on period growth for July to February, July 2020 to February 2021. This is a really strong number. How much, you know, are we seeing less of the imports / dumping that we have seen, or is it literally that demand has just really started to pick up in the economy?
No, it's really the demand side, Simon. So very strongly retail-led in the beginning. We do see some green shoots coming out of the construction activities as well. We also must say that towards, as we've always expected, towards February, we've seen more of a normalization, whereas in the early days after the lockdown, we had, you know, very high growth numbers period on period. Mm-hmm. But the imports are still a big concern for the industry. They're still totaling about 1 million tons, very similar to previous year. So COVID has had a very short-lived impact on that. And we are waiting for the government that now has all what they need to make a decision and apply tariffs, which is really what a local industry like South Africa would need.
And I mean, we've seen, as my previous guest, I mean, for the first quarter of this year, our currency is essentially flat. It is weaker on a year ago. I mean, at certain points, I imagine the rand and where it is will discourage imports versus other areas where actually it's just going to make importing, frankly, even more viable. But that's not really a mechanism to manage it. We need some sort of legislation, some sort of a response from the government.
Yeah, that is our expectation, because we are dealing with countries out of Asia that are dumping their cement on the world market. Of course, we are competing at full cost in an environment where we are contributing significantly to the growth of the societies as well, through various mechanisms of social investments, carbon tax, which is, you know, not the case for imported cement. So I think our case is extremely strong.
A last question, the PPC local, you mentioned retail. Obviously, a bunch of it are those sort of large bags of cement that we see it at the local stores and the like. How much of your cement is going into sort of more of the traditional construction? And I'm thinking those giant sort of trucks that you see sometimes on the roads.
So if you look at the giant trucks make up about 30 to 40%, depending a little bit on the region. So the vast majority of our cement still goes in the typical green and red mix with the elephant on it that you see in the retail stores.
Okay, but 30 to 40 is actually not it's a chunky number in of itself. We'll leave that there. That is our PPC CEO, Roland van Veenen, talking around the update. And we chatted with PPC in November last year, and the concern around having to raise that $175 million. That didn't need to happen. But it does mean, I mean, the stock has been absolute on a tear, as I said, up 4x since the November announcement. We'll leave it there. Appreciate your time this morning, Roland.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Ronnie Katz. He is CEO of Workforce Holdings. They had numbers out for the year ending December. Revenue was off 13.9%. Cash flow actually quite strong. Headline earnings were down 71.7% at 12 cents. But that skews numbers because they had a loss of 8.5 cents in H1, so 20 cents for H2. Ronnie, appreciate your time today. If we look at Workforce Holdings, you're very much in sort of staffing. You do permanent and temporary recruitment. You do training and skills development for third party companies.
Yes, our main focus is staff and being a people-centric business. So we do staffing, we do training and education, and we also get involved in other aspects such as healthcare, occupational healthcare. We run 75 clinics and financial services for staffing.
And I mean, in essence, you I suppose the way I see it is, as a company's got a skill set, be that what it may, you know, maybe they're in mining, maybe they're in financial services. You're sort of coming in as the experts and saying, you know what, you stick to your knitting, and we can help you be better around the staffing environment.
Yes, that's correct. We feel that we can take of the management of a company handling staffing and all related issues to staffing.
I mentioned in the intro there, your year's HEPS was 12 cents, but skewed because you're taking a loss in the first half. A fairly significant rebound in H2. How's it coming? I mean, we're now, 3 months into the new financial year. Are things still picking up?
Yes, things are still picking up, and in some cases we're way ahead of the figures of last year at the same time. And we see that the market is very buoyant in terms of staffing.
And a lot of this, I mean, you've moved into a couple of new areas. You've had the acquisition of Open Source. But what I note as well is, I mean, obviously South Africa is your key market. You're also operating sort of beyond the borders into the rest of the continent. Operation in Chile as well. What services is that? I mean, is that in the healthcare? I know you've also picked. You're doing some in the mining space.
We're doing in the mining space, and all of our internal South Africa external operations all have a blend of our total services. So we will do staffing, we'll do healthcare, we'll do training. There's a proposition which the countries that we're going to just don't have as a composite service offering. And that is what we offer.
I mean, almost in a sense, a one-stop shop for them.
Yes, yes. It's very simple for them to operate their business.
And at this point, the rest of the continent, how significant is that in workforce's life?
Well, we've established a number of branches, and some of them are profitable. It is certainly not significant at this stage, but it's the long term. And during the COVID period, we were certainly held back in our plans because the traveling between South Africa and particularly the neighboring states was totally closed. So we could not manage those areas to develop at the rate that we want to, but it's on our program, and we hope over the next couple of years to see this growing quite significantly.
One of the oddities of the pandemic that a lot of sort of healthcare businesses out there, and I'm thinking the hospitals and the like, they actually had a tough year, and you know, that's because of the situation around the pandemic. Your healthcare division actually did all right last year.
Yes, in fact it did well, despite the fact that the hospital entries dropped because of reserving the hospitals for potential COVID patients. So you didn't have the usual emergency that you do have in a hospital, in which we suited to. But what did happen is we grew our market in the frail care homes and various other medical areas, and as well as our clinics. And so that held up well for us.
Your biggest area, and by a long way, it's the staffing and the outsourcing. And I mean, there's been a legislative changes and the like. I mean, I'm imagining, I mean, those a couple of years ago, you sort of managed your way through that, and that's now behind you, and you're able to operate within the environment that exists.
Yes, those changes that came about in legislation were very welcome when it came to an end, when we finally got decisions which made it possible for us to continue operating without a threat to our business as an entity. Yes.
And I imagine as well, you know, with respect to some of the, you know, obviously there's, you know, some competitors out there and they're in the listed space. But often when that sort of legislation comes in, it kind of also gets rid of perhaps a lot of the sort of fly-by-nights, to want to, you know, for the coin of a phrase.
Yes, I think there's been a substantial reduction in the number of people involved in providing labor. There's been a substantial reduction.
One of the points, and I mentioned in the intro, cash flow from operating activities up strongly, almost 165 million. That from just over 35 million the previous year. I mean, it's from operations. I mean, was that sort of organic growth, or was some of that sort of workforce also, you know, cutting some of the costs at your offices?
Yeah, we cut costs in our offices, and the other thing was we were we were quite firm about it to ensure that we got a much better collection rate, and that was, you know, that was part of the improvement in capital.
We'll leave that there. That's Workforce Holdings CEO Ronnie Katz talking the business, also getting a sense of the numbers for the year end December 2020. Ronnie, appreciate your time. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Orbvest Diversified Holdings Number 4. It's a fund that will invest across a broad spread of proven Orbvest medical buildings. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. At top of the show, I was chatting with Nesson from SASFIN around that return for the top 40, 12% so far in 2021. It actually peaked at 16.5% back in the beginning of March, but we'll take 12% for the first quarter. Our question to you on our poll today, which you'll find on the MoneyWeb Twitter account at MoneyWeb: what do you think the return for the full year will be? Will we do around 12%? In other words, pretty much flat for the rest of the year. Perhaps less than 12%, in other words, we're going to go down from here on out, or way better than 12%. I think we can continue this. I think between our small cap, the SA Inc. space, the resources, I think we can do more than 12. How much more? Time will tell. I mean, more is always better. And as I was chatting last week, I mean, remember 2006, we did, I think, 42% on our index. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast available from 7 a.m. A huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. It's Easter weekend, so we'll be back again on Tuesday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.